Ephesians, the sixth chapter, and beginning at verse 10, let us read together now God's holy, infallible word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. This is the holy, infallible word of the living God. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of God will stand forever. Beloved in the Lord, in our study of the armor of God throughout this passage, we come now to study what we call the war boots. The Apostle Paul has been describing spiritual warfare. He probably took his cue from the person to whom he was chained in that prison, a Roman soldier, legionnaire, one who would be in the full regalia of the Roman army, dressed with armor. And as he contemplated spiritual warfare, he saw a soldier next to him, and perhaps he began to think about comparisons that could be made. And we have seen some of those comparisons already. We have looked at the belt of truth. We have looked at the breastplate of righteousness. And apparently he thought there must be some comparison when it came to the war boots, or shoes, as they're called in this particular translation, because he mentions them in our text. Verse 15, have shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of grace. Paul is describing spiritual warfare because he knows that our enemy has a well-stocked arsenal and is ready to use that against us at any time. A quiver full of flaming arrows of adversity, frequently firing at us round after round of problems, and seeking in all of the things that he throws at us, our enemy has but one desire: to bring down our defenses and to strike a blow for his cause. We need, therefore, defense. And Paul has been talking about defensive armor. And with defensive armor, when those arrows hit and when we are on that field of battle, we will be protected. And in this picture of the soldier and this armor, we now come to the war boots that are not so particularly meant for defense, but they are important to the defense and important to the cause of the soldier because of their function. And we want to look at that, and especially in the light of what Paul says we must have them for, having the readiness of that is given by the gospel of peace. And he links them together. We'll see that in a moment. As he talks about the shoes or the boots, he's probably, as I said, looking at this Roman legionnaire. He probably had to look at him a lot because it was the practice to be chained or handcuffed to a soldier, sometimes one on either side, if you were a prisoner in a Roman dungeon. And this legionnaire, strapped to the apostle by chains, would be wearing his uniform, and he would be wearing his leather sandal strapped firmly to his leg. Now, the legionnaire's sandal was not a sandal as you and I think of it. You know, maybe you immediately have begun to think of your summer flip-flops, if summer will ever come. It's struggling. These are not flip-flops. The Roman soldier wore a special kind of a shoe, and that had a hobnail or a studded sole, much like you would find with football cleats, or perhaps more like that which you would find in a pair of golf shoes. A golfer wears special shoes with spikes in them to grip the ground and to give him traction and firm footing. That's exactly what a Roman legionnaire needed, because when he marched, he did not want to be in a position where he would lose his footing. He wanted to march, and he moved forward. And when he was in battle and he would stand, he wanted to have that ability to stand firmly. And so that is part of what we're going to see from this illustration as Paul begins to draw from it application to our spiritual warfare. So let's first of all look at how Paul would draw the application of this legionnaire and his uniform, particularly now his war boots, and draw that to our own warfare, how we are called in this whole passage to stand. That's why we need the boots or the shoes that Paul is talking about us in terms of the armor of God. We need to have them firmly fitted on our feet so that we can stand against the enemy when we engage in spiritual warfare, because the enemy is going to try to push us back. But if we have the shoes that he's talking about here, which are the shoes in terms of being prepared with the gospel of grace and peace, we will be able to stand, and not only stand, we will be able to advance. But this, the idea of shoes, is to give us a firm footing. And so Paul, I think, is talking about having a shoe or having a balance in our spiritual life that gives us a firm footing when it comes to the spiritual struggles that we will endure. We need to be on solid ground, and we need to be able to stand on that ground. Remember, he opened this particular paragraph by saying, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to," what? Stand. And he goes on and he says, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but therefore take up the whole armor of God," verse 13, "that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm." You get the picture here of, you know, as he takes this idea of a Roman soldier over into spiritual warfare, he wants us to do in the spiritual realm what the Roman soldier did in the Roman soldier's job. He stood against the enemy. That was the whole idea, that when the enemy came against him, he wanted to be the one standing when the job was done. And that's what Paul is saying about spiritual warfare. We need to be able to stand on firm footing, so that on that firm footing of the gospel of peace, we will be able to stand against the enemy. And when the enemy throws everything that he's got at us, we want to be the one left standing. We don't want the enemy to gain the upper hand and defeat us. And to do that, we need to be able to stand with balance and with firm footing. When you lose your footing, you fall. When you lose your footing, if you fall, you could be easily dispatched. If you were in the army, like this Roman soldier, someone on the ground who has lost his footing and has fallen to the ground is in a far worse position to defend himself from the spear of the enemy than the soldier who is standing with his armor, with his shield, and taking those glancing blows and warding them off. Keep your footing firm, and your footing needs to be firmly placed in what he calls in this passage the gospel of peace. Our footing is the word of God, and we need to have that footing firm in the gospel of grace. And sometimes it's translated here preparedness, or the equipment of the gospel. In other words, the emphasis is upon the word of God and understanding and applying the word of God to our lives. You need to know where to stand. You need to know how to stand. You need to know when to stand. Because when a person slips and slides around, it's because they don't know, they're unsure of where they stand. In the spiritual realm, a person who slips and slides is a person who is not sure of what to believe. Here, the apostle is speaking in terms of spiritual warfare, our fight against the enemy, and the interpretation of his words here must take these principles into consideration. The first, we need to be firm and confident and have a sense of assurance. When you're involved against an enemy and in a conflict with an enemy, you don't go into battle unsure of whether or not you're going to prevail. You need to go with a certain confidence and assurance that you're going to win. And that's true in spiritual warfare as well. If you're engaged in a mortal conflict with a wily, nimble, powerful enemy, you must guard against slipping and falling and sliding, being made sure that you have your feet firmly planted, that you are standing on a foundation that will not give way beneath you. And the important thing in that conflict is to be quite sure then of what you are doing. And the only way to be sure of what you're doing so that you can stand when it comes to the warfare that you are engaged in is to know what foundation you are standing on, that is the impregnable rock of Holy Scripture. Many throughout history have demonstrated that they just don't know where to stand. The church as a whole, throughout the history of the church, has slipped, and sometimes the church and its people have fallen. We need to be trained in the Word. We need to be trained in the Word and understand the Word so that when we are engaged in this warfare, we stand for what the Word has revealed, for the righteousness of God's Word. Trained in the Word, we will be equipped to give testimony and witness for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some people will actually begin to take unbelief, as it were, by the neck and attack it and confront it. And the reason they can do that, and there are people on that front as well today, doing spiritual battle with the very forces and philosophies of unbelief in this world, it's because they know where to stand. And they know not only where to stand, but they're standing for the Lord in the strength of His Word. If you don't know where to stand, you will not be able to face the adversary. You will not be able to face the philosophies of the world. You won't have an answer for the world when it comes up to you. And it will come up to you, and you will find these philosophies, because the world all around us, even in this once Judaic Christian country, we have a country that has wavered from that foundation and is moving in the opposite direction in rebellion against God's Word. How will you confront those who come up against you when they ask you, what do you believe about marriage? Do you believe that marriage is between one man and one woman? What about same-sex marriage? What about other kinds of aberrations of Scripture? What about things that we confront on a daily basis? We see it everywhere. Are you prepared to stand for the cause of the Scripture, the written and fallible Word of God? If you're not standing on that firm footing of the Word of God, you're not standing on the right side. Your stand must be on the Lord's side, and don't slide toward the old ways of the flesh. Don't give in and slip in the battle of spiritual warfare. Unless you are standing firmly in the Word of God, you will not prevail, and you will not be an effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Your life must be different. You, as a Christian, must be able to say, I will serve the Lord and I will obey Him. And not only say that, but do that on the basis of what does God have to say about these issues that my world is confronting me with. And it's not only the world about us, but it's entering our families, and we need to confront it. Confront it in the strength of the Word, in love, with a message for a world that has departed from the gospel, departed from the Word of God, that calls them to the obedience of Scripture, which is the only thing that will be sufficient to change the hearts and the lives of those who are outside of Jesus Christ. You see, standing is an important thing. Paul is talking about that in this imagery of spiritual warfare. And if your boots are not planted firmly on scriptural ground, you're not standing. You're not going to stand. And if you're not going to stand, you have to ask yourself, well, where am I and what am I doing? Not only do the war boots give us the ability to stand, they give us the ability to be mobile. And he talks about that in this passage, as well as talking about being alert against an enemy when we engage in spiritual warfare. Let's talk first of all about being alert. If you're standing and you're ready to move forward into battle, you need to be alert to the enemy and identify the enemy. It wasn't too long ago, I'm going through a collection of my dad's things from World War II. Somewhere in that collection, There was a deck of cards. I don't know if I should mention a deck of cards in this. Well, it was a deck of cards that had pictures of airplanes on them. And that deck of cards was used as sort of a flashcard for airplane recognition in World War II. And they had a deck of cards, different planes, all kinds of planes, but they had to be able to recognize, distinguish the planes one from another immediately. You had to look at it and know it exactly then. Why? Because if you didn't know it was an enemy plane and it was coming at you, you were in trouble. My dad tells the story about in one of his flights in a B-17 over Germany, they were accompanied one day by two or three of the new German jets, and they flew right with them in the B-17 formation so closely that the B-17s did not dare to fire on the jets, because if they fired on the jets, they would more than likely hit one of their other B-17s. And this was an unusual thing, because they had never seen a jet before. I know that's a little hard for us to understand because we see them all the time. But this was a recognition of, this is an enemy plane. And they had all kinds of those things happening during the war. You have to be able to identify the enemy from those who are on your side. That's what Paul is talking about here as well. If you're standing on this foundation of the word of the gospel of grace, you need to be able to understand what it says. And if you understand then what it says, you are to be alert to what the enemy is doing and what the enemy is all about. You have to identify his tactics. You have to identify immediately the things that he throws at you, and you have to watch, for the enemy is wily, the enemy is wise, the enemy is always using everything that he can do, ceaseless in his activity, to trap you, to prowl about. As scripture says, he's like a roaring lion, he prowls about. Have you ever thought of that image in terms of yourself? If you had a prowling lion in your backyard, would you like to go outside at night? If you had a prowling lion and you knew he was out there, but you couldn't see him, but you knew that he was there, the evidence is everywhere, would you want to go from your house to your barn without a .357 Magnum? No. A prowling lion is a lion who is ready to pounce. A prowling lion is a lion that's hungry, and he's going to grab, and he's going to pounce, and he's going to kill, because that's what a prowling lion does. That's the image scripture says is true of Satan. He goes about like a roaring, prowling lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan, as the word of God teaches us, never wearies. He never tires. He commands principalities and powers, of which Paul has spoken of in this passage. All of the evil influences and forces and factors are at his disposal. And so the result is that you and I have to be always ready, every day, as it were, for our enemy is trying to destroy us. And to do that, you have to be alert. You have to be ready for combat. You have to be ready when that lion, that ravenous enemy, tries to pounce, in the power of the armor of God to repel that attack. Be alert because of the unexpectedness of his attack. Be alert because he uses everything that he can. The snares of temptation, the assaults that he brings, every bit of cunning and trickery that's at his disposal is going to be used against you, because the enemy, Satan, hates those who belong to Jesus Christ. His attacks are subtle. He camouflages them. He uses disguises, the scripture says. He's wily. He changes his tactics, his methods. He's really wise when it comes to spiritual warfare. In fact, he's so wily, he's so wise, that even in scripture we find that when the enemy sought to tempt the Lord Jesus Christ, he quotes scripture. You better be able to understand what the scripture teaches and have your boots firmly planted on the gospel of peace and the grace of God and the scriptures, and understand it for the scripture will be used against you by the enemy when he uses everything in his arsenal to try to defeat you. There's only one safe defense against this enemy. Be alert, watch, and pray. Be on the alert with your shoes shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So if you're prepared to stand against the enemy, you're alert to his tactics, and you're engaging then in spiritual warfare, there's one more thing that this war boot imagery suggests, and that is the mobility that we mentioned, and we'll look at that now. We need to be mobile in order to stand against the enemy, engage in that spiritual warfare, and move forward and conquer the enemy. The gospel of peace was not given for Christian soldiers to hide their light under a bushel and stay in the barracks. The Christian soldier is to be on the move. Mobility. Mobility in warfare is an important tactic, and it's probably one that in its importance grew with the genius of Alexander the Great. Remember the stories of history that tell us about his great genius, where he moved his armies and conquered nations and became the supreme power of the world at that time. That same genius was practiced by the Roman army, the very army that Paul is using as illustrative of this spiritual warfare. And it only stands to reason that a study of warfare would take us to the very day in which we live, and you see today the effectiveness of mobility in tactical warfare today, as our armed forces can literally respond to situations around the world. They are completely mobile. They can move. They can get from where they are to where they need to be. And that's what Christians need to do. They need to be mobile. That is, they need to take the gospel where it is needed. We need to take the battle to the enemy, not rest comfortably in our barracks. We need to be flexible and invade the enemy's territory with the strength and power of the gospel of grace and peace. Mobility suggests that we're familiar then with this gospel, that we know it, that we're saturated with it, that as Spurgeon said about his deacons — he didn't have elders, he was a Baptist, he now knows better — but as Spurgeon said about his deacons, his church leaders, if you squeeze them, they'll bleed scripture. That's what he was saying about his leaders, that scripture saturated them. They knew the word. Does scripture saturate your heart, your life? You need to be that familiar with it, because when you go forth into battle against the enemy and seek to defeat him, you need to have that equipment of the gospel of grace that is the only source of power that will defeat the enemy. We already know that we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, but if we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, then we are a soldier in the army of the Lord Jesus, and we need to move forward in that army as those who serve the King and the Commander in Chief. And we can only move forward in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, our Commander in Chief, if we are standing on that unshakable foundation of his infallible word. No experience that you have will prepare you for spiritual warfare, though experiences can be good. But the problem that experiences bring is that people rest on an experience. They rest on the memory of that experience. They don't rest on the foundation that's unshakable. Because the problem with experiences, even though they're good experiences, is that you can always doubt whether or not that experience that you may have had, whether it's a profession of faith, whether it's a particularly meaningful prayer time that you had and sensed the power and the filling of the Holy Spirit, whether it's some other experience, no matter what, that experience will wane in your mind and in your memory. But one thing will not fail you: the word of the living God. There is no effort that will improve upon the gospel of grace, which is the power of God unto salvation. I'd like to close with a thought this morning that brings us back again to the story of that great conflict between David and Goliath. remember David, that young teenager, as it were, went into battle against the giant Goliath. But he went into that battle knowing something that hardly anyone else in Israel knew. And it would be later the testimony of his mouth when he said, "The battle is the Lord's." He knew that God would bring victory. He knew that God would use him in that battle against this enemy, and he went to do the will of God, strengthened in the armor of God. That's why he didn't want to wear the armor of Saul. Remember, they put that kind of lunky armor from that lanky, tall king on David, and he kind of said, this doesn't fit, you know? You don't go to Kohl's or to Carson's and get armor. I don't know where you get it, but he just rejected it out of hand and said, "I'm going to discard this armor. I'm going to go with the familiar weapons that I know and trust." And one of those weapons was, he knew the power of God, because he testified to that power of God. You read about it when he says, "I come to you," as he speaks to this giant, "in the name of the Lord." He didn't say, "I come to you with I'm a pretty good shot with a slingshot." Did you ever notice that? "I come to you in the name of the Lord." And he found shelter, he found strength, he knew power in the name of the Lord, not in a slingshot. But he went in the name of the Lord against this giant because he stood in the strength of the gospel of peace. He knew the God in whose name he came. His feet were firmly planted in that gospel, and he was prepared, and he stood against great, enormous opposition because he went in the strength that the Lord had provided for him. And you and I are in that same spiritual battle. An enemy seeks to destroy us. The armors that others will suggest to us simply will not work. We must be clothed with the armor of God. And in particular, we must have the firm footing of the gospel of peace. And if we do, we will win the battle. For the armor is God's. God is our deliverer. And with David, we should know, and we should by faith declare, the battle is the Lord's. Go in the strength of the Lord as you serve him, clothed in the armor of God. Amen.